Welcome to the Flame Podcast, spreading truth like wildfire with your flamethrowers Anna Kane and Nicole Orozco on a mission to set the captives free. Now here they are, your hosts.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode number 24, where we have a great show lined up for you today. For more information about the Flame Podcast and the Flame Paper, make sure to visit us at theflameusa.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show at podomatic.com or download the Podomatic app so you won't miss a single episode. We always like to start our show with Watchmen on the Wall, where we cover the latest events and happenings. Again, I know we've been speaking about it for weeks now. I feel like maybe 2 months. We have the Reawaken Tour coming to Idaho on September 16th and 17th. Make sure to go get your tickets. You can get 10% off if you use the Flame promo call code. Promo call. So you can call at 918-851-0102 or go to timetofreeamerica.com and mention the Flame promo code. We're super excited because the Flame is going to be there covering what's going on. And we are putting out a special edition. The September edition is based on people who are on the tour. Clay Clark is our headline article. We also have articles from Dr. Tenpenny, James Garnvig, Pam Bartha, and Sharam Hadium, Ma'am, Sheriff Mack. And so make sure that you guys are subscribing, getting those papers into your local communities. I know also we have Judy Mikovits is coming to Snohomish at the House Church on September 18th at 6 p.m. So those who aren't at the Reawaken Tour and in our community, make sure that you are going to that. I do believe that you have to go to the House Church and
Sign up.
Yeah.
Free.
Yeah, it's free, but they got to make sure they have enough space. So, yeah, I know Nicole's been working super hard on Project Parallel Economies or communities.
Yes.
So I am going to let you share about that.
Okay, well, basically, the Flame is a not-for-profit membership PMA. So it's called a private membership association. And we love to give back to our communities. And with what's happening in our world, it's super important that we start taking care of people and separating from the system. You know, maybe the system will come back and not be a beast system, but I doubt it. And if that happens, great. God bless us all. But with our country and the state as it is and the massive government overreach, the Flame wants to help communities with solution-based projects. So what happens is your subscription gets the truth out, of course, to every corner in America, and it also funds good and allows us to give grants to community projects. So moving forward into 2023 and beyond, we'll be giving away grants to programs that are sustainable. You know, they have to have a plan and show us where the funds will go. And we're coming up with the structure of that as we speak tonight. Basically, we can't trust our medical. I know so many stories, I can't even go into that, but we can't trust it. And our educational system, I won't even talk about that right now. That's for Anna to talk about in a minute. Financial, food institutions, we need to make sure our communities are fed. And so with the World Economic Forum, they are right about on the paper. Go to Time to Free America or the and you'll see the WEF plan. And climate emergency could be called, which will take away all national sovereignty like that. The Constitution gone. So some of the projects in the works include and are not limited to private membership association, medical centers, schools, grocery stores, legal, lawful assistance, community land, livestock gardens, generators, ham radios, emergency supplies for communities. You know, the log cabins that are, you could build with two people, manufactured homes, things like that to go on land. And that we could fund this, guys, but we, and our goal's right now 25,000 subscriptions. So, and watch us on Stu Peters tomorrow. We'll be on Stu Peters, the Stu Peters show at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, Anna, educational.
Oh, ooh, did we have to go there?
Yeah.
So I know some people who listen know me, and my kids are currently still in the public school system. We are on waiting lists for private schools. And so yesterday we went to visit the classrooms, and definitely disheartened. There was a gay pride flag hanging in the classroom. And and on my kids' teacher's laptop was a Black Lives Matter sticker. Be the change with the rainbow, a sheep sticker. Hugs and kisses, right? And unstoppable. A sticker that said unstoppable over and over and over and over again, you know, right next to the Black Lives Matter. And I just, I tell you what, we took pictures.
Fourth grade.
Yeah. So this is a fourth grade classroom. Two of my kids, I have twins that are in fourth grade. And so we took pictures. And this morning I went into the school to see if I can have them removed out of the classroom and put into another class. And speaking with the principal, I shared my concerns. First of all, they, you know, are talking, we're teaching equity in every classroom, right? We'll be talking about this openly. This is a public school. This is Washington's education system. And I just randomly was like, oh, okay, well, where's the heterosexual flag flying? Like, where's that flag at? I mean, if we're going to talk about equity, then isn't that an equal? So we teach all things, right? But all I see is a gay pride flag hanging. Black Lives Matter. Like, if we're going to support terrorist groups in classrooms, then where's the ISIS stickers at? And I mean, it can go on and on and on and on. And literally the principal was like, well, this is above my pay grade. Every time, yes, I asked a hard question, it was above her pay grade.
Because she's a dim bulb. She's a dim bulb. She's deluded. She's deceived, and she doesn't even know it.
Absolutely. So, yep, 100%. It was super disheartening. She basically told me she's not moving my children out of the classroom. This is the curriculum that they will be teaching. And welcome to the public school. And I just, again, I asked the right questions and couldn't get an answer. Because I just feel like if we're going to teach one thing, we teach it all. And so it's just, it's so, why are they even talking about these things in a fourth grade classroom? Like, it's mind boggling. Nicole was sharing with me on the way here that teachers had stickers that, you know, teachers are your family. What?
It's a communist manifesto.
They're with a student for 9 months. How are you now my family? Like, are you going to come to Thanksgiving with me? Are you coming for Christmas? Are you buying me Christmas presents? Because, I mean, by all means, come on over. They're not family.
They're teaching kids that they're above the family. And they're teaching them that their government schools are the motherland. It's the motherland, just like in communist Russia.
Yep. So anyway, super disheartening. My husband's at home right now writing emails. I'm sure nothing will happen, but that's the way it goes. And unless we change it, right? Our goal for the Flame podcast is to make it a top performer within the political podcast category. And we do need your help for that. It's as simple as sharing the show with 10 of your friends. That's it. Just 10 of your friends. Speaking of sharing, we've got some great guests coming up who will share with us the latest happenings of the world of politics and skullduggery. Stick around. This will be a very interesting show.
Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your way.
Welcome to our Torchbearer segment, where we interview people who are carrying the torch of truth and making a positive difference in our world. This week, we have Jeff and Shannon, a.k.a. Matrix and Shady. We also have our great guest host, Dwayne Fisher, also known as, what is it, DND?
1776.
1776. I see it every day. But welcome, guys, to our show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having us. We actually go way back, and it's great to be on the Flame podcast with some amazing patriots like yourself. You guys are also helping to slay the deep state.
Yes, thank you for having us on, guys. Appreciate being here.
Well, we're super stoked to have you on here. Now, Jeff, we met you at Bard's Fest last year, and we had an awesome time. I mean, we saw, you know, Joe get up there and
rock it out,
and we went to dinner, and it was just fabulous. But please give us a little bit of background, both of you, about what you do, how you started, and about your show.
Well, Shady and I met on Match.com. And,
not that part.
Not that part. That is actually being facetious. Basically, I started, looking at this 17 number. You know, we just saw this entity drop on, 4chan, 8chan, then 8kun. And basically, I started, looking at it on the boards and actually answering some of the questions that this, entity brought us, if you will. And I was then they're like, hey, we need to like get, some Twitter warriors out there. And I'm like, OK, I'll try to figure out Twitter. I have no idea. So I ended up going over to Twitter because I figured I felt that I would be a good conduit from the drops that happened on those boards and bringing over to Twitter. And I started to learn how to do threads. My first, thread that I actually did was the Parkland shooting, showing that there was multiple people, actually involved with it. I'm working with the Parkland families today to show, and they know because they knew there was more than one shooter. They know it's all been over the news. I've got all the video evidence. It's all out there. So that's what kind of gave me up to 5,000 followers. Then I started posting Q threads. I followed like Lisa May Crowley, Pragmatic. I'm like, you know what? I need to do this too. And what I did is I started just doing threads. So the threads would actually be a thread on Twitter would be like, here are the posts for this day. Let's go. And then put the post, the actual post, then put some things that, we might have been digging on at that time. And also the news of the day. So I've got over, 700, threads that I did. I never got banned. I did get banned for like, what was it, Shady, like 7 days. And Shady had to take over for a minute. And he's like, oh, my God, I don't know how you do this. And I did it all via my phone. And I was also, while we're researching, I was also, that entity actually pointed my Twitter account there over 20 times. And you're probably talking to the one of the most, mentioned in the drops of this entity. And I was also a Zero Delta. So then prior to that, Shady and I met on a Discord server where, there was a lot of beautiful patriots and Anons that were actually digging to once, amongst the drops. And we're also on the boards and we're also on Twitter. But we were actually surrounded by, deep state, which we didn't realize at the time until later. But I actually started the Pesur dig, the bloodline families. Q asked us to map the bloodlines. So I kind of started with that. And then Shady and I kind of came in, a quarter away from, in the dig, helped with that dig along with Poussant and some of our other beautiful patriots, Rocket Girl and, some of our other inner circle. So we did that thread. I'm like, how do I do this thread? And I'm talking to Shady and he's like, I don't know. So it came to me that I just say, how did I come about it? Right. So an Anon came in and mentioned that word and I did this Pesur thread. And then Shady's like, come on the show. You got to come on the show. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I want to be on the Internet, because I was still working. I sold Cisco systems. Mm-hmm. I basically eliminated jobs for a living and didn't realize that now, but I repent for that. But everything had to be done in a certain way. We walk our path. So Shady got me on for the first time on his Q Lounge live show, which I was probably one of the biggest fans. And That's what really started it off. And, you know, Shady, maybe I'll add, you know, what do you think? I mean, you know, that's how we met. We really hit it off. You know, I was kind of like, you know, a businessman, went in the business world, but I was also red-pilled well before Q, which is why I figure and my filter is very good. If it's a fact, it's a fact, whether I like it or not.
Yep.
And there's a lot of facts that I don't like. And, you know, if it's a theory, I clearly mark it as a theory. And that's what we need to do. And
absolutely,
the discernment, you know, that you guys are talking about, the discernment book as well, is part of that training. Mm-hmm. So, Shady, you know, that's kind of the short history. I mean, do you want to add to that? Did I miss anything besides Match.com?
I think that you did pretty well with the setup there. And for everybody out there to, you know, to be in the environment, you know, the political environment has been so disgusting for so long, and so many people have really been, you know, disenfranchised with it. And it was very interesting whenever the two of us met, you know, like he just said there, the filter that he has. Well, very interestingly enough, I had the same filter, you know. I mean, I knew that there was X amount of this stuff that was out there that was narrative, that wasn't true, that they were trying to push, you know, into about the Trump campaign and what he had done. And we could easily see that they were making stuff up. And, you know, as we started to, the two of us started to kind of work together more, then we realized that we had a synchronicity. Not only did we kind of come from the same perspective with a filter for the truth, but we also dovetailed together with the way that, you know, I lead into something and he understands X amount about it. And we kind of just makes this whole, this, you know, two halves a whole type conversation. And we were essentially working in Discord, and it was really crazy. And a lot of people don't really recognize and understand what the operation was that was Q, but what we were doing is whenever Q was posting to the message boards, and whenever Q would post, he would direct us in a way, and then we would like look at this stuff and see what Q was like trying to get us to see. And then as we got together collectively with, you know, 20, 30 different researchers, mm-hmm. then we were like, you know, compiling research, bringing it to the boards, putting it up on the boards, and then a lot of the times Q would grab that research and repost it. So then we would know that we were a little bit more closer over the target and things like that. And within all of that coming out, we did this thing that a lot of the people that follow Q didn't do. We started following the bloodlines. And that's something that has been extraordinarily interesting to me for decades. I've been researching this stuff for a long time, and going back to the 90s and Bill Cooper being on the mm-hmm. air. And so it was just really amazing how it all started to plug in. And I started doing that show, Q Lounge Live. And as a matter of fact, the first episode I did, the first person that I sent it to was Jeff, because I really respected his opinion and also felt like I didn't want to be doing something that wasn't any good. And he really loved it. And it was very encouraging and inspiring, as a matter of fact, to me to continue to do it. And I he wanted me to present the PaySOAR research. And I was like, you know, I can do that. I really can. I'm able to do it. But the reality is, you add color and context with the way that you describe it, that it would be hard for me to write down. And you know, and it's like the same for me. Like, I have things that would be hard for him to write down. So I kind of just put it off for a little bit. And I was like, well, I want you to come on if you feel comfortable to come on and do it, because I don't feel like that I would do it justice. And he came on and did that show. And then a week later, we did a part two. And then 2 days after that, Q dropped, yeah,
you know,
post, Shady, number 1970.
Real quick, after we did that second show, is that better? Just give me a thumbs. Okay, after we did that second show, I was like, you know, Shady, maybe it's disinformation. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it anymore. You know, I don't know. And I was kind of getting, you know, like, oh my god, because, you know, disinfo is necessary. And we know the person that said, hey, does P equal PaySOAR? You know, ready to fight, where we, you know, whatever the post was, we know that guy. He was actually trying to prove us wrong,
right?
And then, so that was Sunday, and then I think that was Monday or Tuesday that was actually posted. So I'm like, okay, here we go, round three. And that was where we did the Trust the Plan thread in regards to the United States of America and body politic trust. And then, you know, there's been several other confirmations since then, even with the president talking about TikTok. And you know, if you want more on that, you know, we'll send you the links to where you can actually see those shows. It's on Telegram. If you're on Telegram, t.me/PaySOAR, PaySEUR. So Shady and I, you know, did, you know, we were red pill. We kind of, you know, had the same kind of conclusions as we, you know, marched through our, you know, our own personal awakening. And you know, it's interesting how, you know, I think we just have a really good vibe going back and forth with one another. And, yeah. you know, he comes from, you know, the mountains in North Carolina. I come from, you know, St. Charles, Illinois. And, you know, I went to college late in life. And but my biggest part of my great awakening was when I passed away 2/22/2017. I had a very rare condition called gallstone ileus, where the gallbladder fuses to the duodenum, and it created a fistula, a hole, right, through the gallbladder and into the duodenum, and dropped the largest ever measured gallstone. And I didn't know, and I couldn't drink, couldn't, you know, do anything else, you know, all the things that people do when they, you know, go to the bathroom, couldn't do any of that, couldn't drink, couldn't keep anything down. My girlfriend at the time took me to the hospital, and they're like, we can't see anything, you know, but I was leaking. I was leaking. And so they opened me up 34 staples, which was very amazing. 17 times 2 is 34. And this happened in 2/22/17. Yeah, right. And
numbers and so matter.
My message was, you're not done. And I had no idea what that actually meant until, I guess, today. I had a 92.4% chance of dying.
Wow.
And here I am talking to you today.
Thank God.
Yeah. And the clue, you know, whenever we were earlier on before we started doing this, you know, with, just to link back, the reason the pacer is important is because of the clues that Q was dropping. Q was dropping multiple different posts that were had this message with P in the kill box, which was basically an isolated letter, and people were guessing whether it's Pope or all these other Pence and all these other different words with P, and so it was a bit of a hunt, you know, like an Easter egg hunt or whatever. Like, what is P? What is Q talking about? It's not Pope. It's not this.
Right.
What does it really mean? And so whenever he put out that thread, it really changed the environment. It changed the environment that the two of us were working in. We were both very comfortable where we were and the people that were around us. But all of a sudden, as soon as we started talking about this and bringing this forward, the people that were directly around us that we thought were friends and helping us literally started to undermine us behind our backs and two other people in the group, and the isolation began isolating us from individual researchers. And then some of these different people that went away from us started coming at each of us individually in our direct messages and trying to, like, say to me things about him and trying to say to him things about me, and then putting all this crap up on the boards and attacking both of us. And we were really kind of caught flat-footed in all of that. We
it just
understand.
Means that you're way over the target and doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, we did. We weren't ready for that. We weren't ready for you know, what we consider to be patriots to be turning on us. And, you know, that amplification garnered, you know, a lot of steam over the next 6 months. And we kind of got to the point where we're like, look, we're not going to shut up about this. You know, Q has tagged this post and Q has shown us that we're over the target. There's no way we're not over the target, because there's only one trust that's a monopoly that controls America that they incorporated back after the Civil War. And we could prove it. We can point to it. We could see that the Pacer Trust bought the Vatican in the late 1800s, for instance. You know, we know what the paper trail is. And the more loud we got about it, the more frustrated people around us became with us being loud about that.
So, Shady, I want to pivot just slightly, and I want to ask you to kind of, you were mentioning Q Live, the Q Lounge. Mm-hmm. Can you go into just briefly? I know you can send us to the show, but can you go into the Constitutional Sheriff?
Yes. Real quick, I could just give you a really quick summation, and this is very, very important for your listening audience out there to understand how we move forward, is to recognize your power as a person, an individual. The media makes you think that you have no power, that there's nothing that you can do, and Biden says you're going to need an F-15, and that's just ridiculous. What you need to do is you need to make a relationship with your sheriff. The Constitution is organized in a way to where it is a ground-up mechanism, not a federal government down mechanism, meaning that the sheriff, a sheriff in your county, is essentially the president of that county. The chief law enforcement executive officer of that county is the sheriff. In almost every there's a few different states where it's organized a little different, but for the most part, in every county in America, your sheriff is your chief law enforcement officer. So the deep state knows how that this is true. And so they have compromised a lot of these people that are out there. And so what the Patriots are currently doing is we are focusing on the sheriffs, and we are focusing on the constitutional sheriffs out there, the people that recognize that that is their duty, and that their duty is to the people. In other words, your interaction with government should be between you and your sheriff. Okay. And all of this other stuff is kind of nonsense out there. Even whenever you talk about a mayor or a police department, you're talking about structures that are actually come under the purview of the sheriff. A sheriff can arrest anybody in the county who is being criminal. And so a lot of the stuff with what Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips are doing right now with True the Vote is they're incorporating the sheriffs, and we're all of us are digging in the background, and we are compiling information in specific counties for these specific deep state actors around elections and voting integrity, and the different processes that they've brought in, and the different things that they've brought in to implement these BS elections, essentially, is what they are. And they're utilizing the constitutional sheriffs, and there's a lot of good ones out there. Sheriff Lamb is one in Pinell County, Arizona. There's, if you're looking for information on that, Sheriff Mack is a great place to go.
He's in our paper for September, everybody, just so you
awesome.
Know.
Awesome.
We yeah. also, our county, Snohomish County, has Sheriff Fortney, and he stood tall. He stood broad, and he said, not under my watch, and he refused to enforce any of the mandates that the governor put down. And so we were very, very grateful for that.
He refused them. However, he made clear that, especially with businesses and other things, that they also have rights.
Yes,
so,
they do.
I mean, he did stand, but he also, you know,
this
wasn't...
will be interesting to see what our sheriff does.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about
yeah,
that
yeah.
one.
Will.
Yeah. So, Shady, you were just talking about Greg Phillips and election integrity. I know that you and Matrix were special guests at the Pit. And so what did you guys take away from the Pit? And how can we utilize the information that you learned there?
Yeah, I'll start for a second and then pass it over to Jeff. But everybody, the one thing that we got out of it was the realization that that there is no level that we can trust our government to properly investigate anything.
Yep.
Amen.
And I think that we as the American patriots need to realize that it is essentially the Constitution gives you the freedom of the press. Well, that doesn't mean the freedom of CNN to go get a license and be the press. That means the freedom for you, an individual, to be a press and to go find out any information that you want to investigate. Well, you're allowed to investigate that. And so, Catherine and Greg trusted the FBI to take them information that was very, very damning towards the Chinese corruption in the elections. And they upended them. They turned it on them. And so they felt like they needed to get this event off so that we could have the information, so that they weren't being, they're going to try to isolate them and target them. So they tried to cut that off at the pass by bringing all of us there and telling us the story.
So there's two stories there, right? There's the actual Chinese integration into your elections, America. Okay. And the other story is quite perfectly timed, in my opinion. The Pit happened at the perfect time because the FBI, we know now, is criminal. I mean, they're listening to, they're going to your school board meetings. They're turning their guns on you. It is weaponized against the American people, and we see it. So that, what Shady explained very eloquently, is perfect. But then we're talking about the other story, which is how actual Chinese, let's say you became a poll worker. Let's just take California or, for example, if you're a poll worker in California, they have an app. It's called Poll Chief, and it's run by a company called Connect by Eugene Yu. All of your information went back to China. It's stored on a Chinese CCP server. So let's say your 15-year-old got paid $15 an hour. Everything is there. Her IMEI number, which is your cell phone location number, your account number, your social security number, everything. So basically, Poll Chief worked with CTCL, right? The Center for Technology, whatever. That's a Zuckerberg funded organization. All of that stuff is on a Unicom backbone in a university in China. So the data on the internet, the way they believe, the CCP believes it, the data on the internet all belongs to them. And they're not, it's not just the U.S.
That's insane.
It's Australia, Mexico, Canada, U.S. And it's not cloud storage. It's an app called Pole Chief, okay, by Connec, K-O-N-N-E-C-H, Connec. Eugene Yu, who has a house in Michigan, they're based out of Michigan, and a Chinese spy actually bought the house. I mean, this is how bad it is. The FBI knew about it. It's the only investigation that's been opened on the election. So when they say that it was there were no cyber attacks on the election, and they're telling you the truth because they own the infrastructure.
But isn't it? But people would say the people would say, oh, it's just a company. China's just a company that owns the app. They don't do anything. It's just a company. They're just hired by the United States.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, we were just talking last week about is in a private meeting, how the left doesn't lie. They just don't tell the whole truth. Like, we're so grateful for what you guys do because you do the deep dive. You're like, okay, yeah, they're not lying. However, there's all of this, too. And so it boggles my mind and blows my mind how we can have so much proof and so much information right in front of us and people just still are not hearing it.
Well, and that goes to the book that you guys have right there. And, you know, they just have mind controlled everybody not to look at it.
Cognitive,
you know, even when we did our dig on China, I never really thought to look at China. Right. But China's huge. I mean, they're Russia. Look here, not there.
Yeah.
So we look there. So, you know, in regards to the private info individual, PII is in the database, right? So they tried to actually go after Greg. There was two agents that they worked with on a daily basis, and they were basically, you know, patriots, right? But then they brought this case to higher ups in the FBI, and there was a female FBI agent that said, hey, we need to turn this around on Greg because he stole three servers from China. How do you steal three servers from China? They didn't steal anything. It's all open on the internet. And so they tried to shop the intel agencies to try to get him arrested. So this is the kind of like the two plots of the story. You know, oh, we have one that can see, but, you know, 1.8 million poll workers data is residing in China.
That's incredible.
Now, you mentioned earlier that with the True the Vote operation that there is they're working county by county. Can you explain kind of that process and what how we utilize that in each of our counties?
Yep, Shady.
Yeah, so what they're really doing right now is that we are with Catherine and Greg. They're specifically working that we're targeting counties that we can see X amount of data from, and then we're bringing this data to the sheriffs of those specific counties in counties where we know that we have a constitutional sheriff, and to present it to them. And I want to let everybody understand a little bit of the aspect of this isn't necessarily the sheriff's going out and prosecuting someone. It is to get reactions out of them. We're looking to get to see where these people are, if they're really willing to do something, if they're really, really, really willing to make a move against some of these entities. And, you know, like you were saying, oh, some people just say it's just a, you know, it's just a company or whatever, but I just really want to drill this in. There's no such thing as a, quote, Chinese company. Okay, everything that is what you would consider a Chinese company is owned by the CCP. At the end of the day, the CCP controls it. There's nothing in China that is outside of their control. And then I'd like to superimpose that on what you've been watching happen in America over the last 20 years of all of this stuff being outsourced to China. Well, very interestingly enough, a lot of these companies that you would know and have heard of and buy products from, well, they were part of that outsourcing. And so whenever they go over to China and start setting up operations, well, that's a backfeed to America, to their operations here in America. And all of a sudden, once their mainframes and computer systems are open to that format, well, then China gives you such a huge market as a business. You all of a sudden you're making so much more money because you're utilizing the Chinese market that the American market starts to dwindle in your priority. And that is exactly what China knew, and that's exactly how they brought in so many companies. And so this is essentially your elections in China, owned by China.
So what we found is your election in America, my election, I'm an American citizen, right? I'm not a Republican or a Democrat right now. I'm addressing you as an American, okay? Your elections are being run on the same election servers as the CCP.
Correct.
I mean, how does that make you feel? I mean, that should make even a Democrat or a rhino, I don't care who you are, what you want to label yourself, this is not right. And no man is above the other is all because of your vote. And we've seen the Democrats scream vote fraud. Kamala Harris basically said, oh, my gosh, I've seen vote flipping machines on the Senate floor. Donald J. Trump, whether you like him or not. Oh, my gosh. Vote. So let's call him on it, America.
So
let's
this to the constitutional sheriff. OK, for instance, I asked Fortney, he's our sheriff. If we were to show you evidence of crimes against humanity, it was a different subject, but still evidence based, would you look into it? Basically, he said no, because there's too many murders and other cases and shootings that I have to deal with that's not even on my radar. How do you handle that?
Well, and so right now there's things that we cannot talk about right now that are actually going to happen. You guys are going to be very happy. We're going to have to do it. We've had Mark Fincham on Wednesday, and we were attacked by Media Matters by having Mark Fincham. He's going to be the next Secretary of State when he wins his election. And, you know, your sheriff has an issue. Your sheriff has an issue because when they arrest somebody with drugs, they're out of pocket for like, you know, 2-3 days getting the evidence and providing the case. So your sheriff doesn't have the resources to do that. And that's why we need to stop the FBI funding in our states. We need to stop them and use that money instead to buy sheriffs to make us actually safer. I mean, there is a kind of a push pull there in a way.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you did great explaining that right there, Jeff. And I appreciate the question. It's a very good question. Yeah. Number one, it's relevant to your county. If whatever you're talking about, crimes against humanity, isn't happening in your county, then your sheriff doesn't really have any control over that. But the important part to recognize is the empowering the sheriff to recognize that he has the right or the ability or the law on his side to stand up to federal government overreach. Overall, the problem in America is that the federal government has the ability to just waltz right into any state and act like they run the place. And the truth of the matter is they only can do that because we have capitulated that responsibility to them as the people, but by not reinforcing our sheriffs or not standing them up with a stiffer spine because of the people that are communicating with them. So what we really would like to be doing is letting the sheriffs know. I mean, guys, this is a really big deal. The sheriff could stop a federal, the FBI, for instance. Let's say the FBI is going to come in to Mrs. Smith's house and they're going to raid her house. To do that, they have to get approval through the courthouse and the sheriff's office in that district. That the approval has to go, that process has to go. If they want to come in, if the bank, let's say JP Morgan or Chase Manhattan wants to come in and foreclose on your house. Well, if you go back and you look at the Constitution pre-1850, 1870, they couldn't do that. They couldn't take your property. They couldn't seize your property because the laws were local. The laws weren't national. Right now, they've got everybody brainwashed into thinking that there's some sort of national laws. But in reality, if you read your Constitution, it's very, very simple. It says anything that goes against this part of the Constitution is not constitutional, and you should ignore it and move forward. Too many people in America are drinking the Kool-Aid that they are under the thumb of the federal government, and you have every media orifice out there echoing that same exact sentiment, telling you that you are powerless, telling you that there's nothing that you can do, and telling you that life is hopeless unless you submit to our will. Well, I have news for them. That is not the truth. That is not the case. And the American people, for everybody out there, if you're out there listening and you're hopeless or you think that nothing is happening, I want to tell you right now, there are millions, and I mean millions, of red-pilled people all around planet Earth that are praying and literally in prayer every day about America and hoping that we can get through this and stay together, because they know that if America falls, the world falls. The rest of the world wants to wants America to be able to set an example for freedom so that they can use that as power to force their governments to do something similar. But right now, this is the weakened state that America has been put in by the last 22 years, since 9/11, since the Bush era, Patriot Act, all this nonsense that they're
9/11.
Throwing
at you. 9/11 yes. was the death knell. That was it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
one thing that we'll say is, as we continue to follow the Supreme Court, obviously they're backing up exactly what you're saying, and they've got some pretty hot topics coming up on the docket.
That's true.
That's right. I also want to just let you know another thing that we all know about the election integrity issues. If you want to talk about that real quick, I'd like to show you, speak to you a little bit about that, if that's okay.
Yeah,
we
let's
actually
roll.
Discovered a third pillar of election integrity. Shady and I, and we've all seen, the Dominion issues, the ESNS, the Hart, the Skittle, all that, back in 2015, 10, Bev Harris from Black Fox Voting showed you that they use an algorithm and percentages. One vote equals one. There's no percentage, right? And
yeah,
that's weighted. Right? So they're, basically all political power at that point can be converted into a hands of few anonymous subcontractors with this thing. So that's the first, is like the voting machines. We need to be paper ballot one day. It's easy. And if it's past 7 o'clock or whatever, when you're ever election, it's over. We need to follow the rules, the laws. The second pillar, obviously, as you know, are the drop boxes, the mail-in ballots, all of that, the mules, right? 2,000 mules. If you have not seen 2,000 mules, you need to see it.
It was awesome.
Yeah. And then so the third pillar of the election integrity is, how do they fund all that?
And yeah.
Yeah. How is that all funded? So Q said all assets being deployed, foreign and domestic. So the third pillar of election integrity, and I'll just take you quickly through it. It's called Arabella Advisors. Eric Kessler, Clinton Foundation is at the center of it all, used to work for the Clinton Global Initiative. And then he also worked for Bill Clinton for a little bit. I used to, he did some green tyranny stuff for me. And
Bill, we don't need you here. Jeff can explain.
You're impeached.
I was going to try to take it.
I know you are. You're always wanting the center stage, Bill.
Can I get a deal? I'm trying to get a deal.
No deals.
No deals.
Come here, steal.
Isn't he impeached?
So, Arabella Advisors, is a for-profit organization. And it's run by Eric Kessler, Clinton connections right there. And then they have five funds, the 1630 fund, which is Demand Justice, which is, those people in the weird hats with the red shirts, they're all being paid by foreign billionaires. OK, and this should upset anybody that's an American, too, no matter what your policy or politics are. So then the Hopewell Fund, New Venture Fund, 1630 fund, and one more shady new venture fund. Yeah, new venture fund. And then now they have the North Fund, which is the legal ease. So the 1630 fund, Jen Psaki used to work there, and they want to stack the court. That's their biggest thing. Onward Together. If you go to Hillary's and look at her partners, those are all Arabella funds. OK, so what happens is the 1630 fund is a 501c4 where you don't have to actually, say, oh, well, shady, right? Donated a dollar. Everything, a 501c3, everything is there, right? Who donated what? Every single penny. And for a 501c4, they don't have to do that. So that's how Hans-Jörg Wyss, George Soros, Amadar, Bill and Melinda Gates of Hell Foundation and Zuckerberg, they all fund these funds. And they're calling, if you ever see impact and action, that's enemy. That's enemy right there. So the 1630 fund peeled off $9.3 million to create the North Fund. The North Fund funds Mark Elias and the Democracy Docket. So foreign billionaires are changing the way we live, work, and play every day. And Shady and I, basically feel that is the third pillar of election integrity that we must understand. It's all great. Yet Dominion got it. Mail-in voting got it. What about the dark money? And the dark money, when we did this Arabella Advisor thing, we had Mark Levin actually come out and talk about it, but he only talked about domestic. Hans-Jörg Wyss, guys, W-Y-S-S, is George Soros. We feel that Wyss is bigger than Soros, and now Amadar is coming up, and doing a lot, too. that's how they fund it, and that must be stopped as well. And Shade, I'll give you to add some color as well.
Yeah, just wanted to real quick just to explain, you know, you hear this word lawfare and you kind of maybe a lot of people gloss over it, but it's very, very important that you understand this. As a matter of fact, the Constitution, the original Constitution was actually set up in a way to where lawfare wasn't, it couldn't happen. And now we're utilizing these foundations and all this political money, they're able to bring this back around and set this up. But really, people don't realize, the media doesn't tell you, but there are thousands, I mean, thousands and thousands of lawsuits that have been brought forth by this one individual, Mark Elias, very, very key, the hub, if you will, of the spokes of all of this that's going on, and he's coming after everybody. Like, he's coming after anybody that stands up, that has a question, anybody that's put in affidavits to courts and everything. You know how the media kept screaming that, oh, Donald Trump lost every single lawsuit. Though they don't really understand that what's actually happening in the background is they're using this as a way to silence people. Most people don't have the ability to face this stuff. They don't, they get loud and they say something, and the next thing you know, they are being sued personally. Like, so when the lawsuit is levied against you, your person, you're disoriented. You don't know what in the hell's going on, and you don't know what's coming at you. And then you like realize real quick that it's, you know, the swamp at DC, and the full bore of all of their weaponization and ammunition is coming right at you. And they understand this, you know, the deep state understands this, and that this is the way that they've been essentially shutting down the truth for decades, guys.
So, I mean, waging war against the people.
Yeah, using our system of fairness. You know, our system is organized in fairness, which means that the you're innocent until proven guilty. They utilize that to their advantage. And within the thought forms, they utilize, you know, intentional misunderstanding and faux outrage. Those are the two little tools that they use. You know, they pretend like, what Donald Trump said was this, when it's obvious he said that. And then they fake outrage and pretend like, oh, everybody should be on the edge of their seats and screaming from the top of their lungs. So that's a little bit of the methods. And they constantly use that over and over again. And whenever you start to see through the illusion, all of a sudden that breaks down, and then you can see it for what it really is, which is a little game that they're playing. And we're trying every day to wake people up to that game, because we know you guys out there, the American patriots, are there, and they're ready for information.
It's so a conquer and a divide.
Advisors, real
divide
quick, so bringing it back to Arabella Advisors, I want you guys, listeners, to know you can see the 5-part series, mgshow.link/Arabella, Arabella, all lowercase.
We need an article from you guys, seriously.
Yeah, we have it. Especially when you see how many of those names that you just mentioned actually tie to Seattle and the Seattle area.
Yep.
Follow the links, ask where that attorney works, and follow that.
And what he was just saying there was I think it's like a 5-part series that's been put together on all of the stuff that starts at the very beginning. It incorporates the Q drops, it incorporates the video, it incorporates, like, you know, the Democrats saying, oh, there's election fraud, and you know, they've been saying this stuff for years. Remember what Hillary said about the 2016 election? There's election fraud there's election fraud mainly when their party or person doesn't win. Yes. That's whenever there's election.
Okay, so we're nearing the end of this show, but I want to give you the last minute or so, because you have so much information. People need to know where to go on these deep dives. I am myself. We need an article. So anyway, where do we find you guys? Tell our listeners what people can do.
Sure. You know, and we go over a lot of stuff, and we did Metabiota, Rosemont Seneca, Bohai Harvest, all the Biden criminal foundations. We dug into that. That's why you're having a Ukraine war, to cover up their crimes. And we figured out how they did it. 10% for the big guy. We understand, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, how they covered it all up. But mg.show is our website. There's no .com. It's mg.show. That's our website. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, 12:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on rumble.com/mgshow, where you can see our faces for radio. And then we're also on Red State Talk Radio. You can just use your spy device and say, tune in to Red State Talk Radio at 12:05 p.m. Eastern, 10:05 p.m. Eastern, and 6:05 a.m. Eastern. And you can hear us live there for 2 hours. And we're also on brighton.tv for the first hour. But if you forget all that, just remember mg.show.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to staying in touch. Definitely staying in touch.
We really appreciate you guys. And thank you for what you're doing out here. And if anybody's out there, you haven't heard of it, you need to get over to Truth Social. Follow MG Show there and Shady Groove with three O's and In the Matrix with three X's. And we're fighting the battle over there on Truth Social with Donald Trump. And he's lighting the world on fire.
Big announcement. My new book, Breaking the Deception Code, A Truth Seeker's Guide to Discernment, is now available. Hi, I'm Steve, the producer, after all. If there's a singular problem facing the world today, it's a lack of discernment reflected in billions of ignorant people choosing to align themselves with dark forces intent on destroying them physically, mentally, financially, and spiritually. The solution is learning how to have discernment. There's no better way than purchasing my new book, Breaking the Deception Code, A Truth Seeker's Guide to Discernment. My book will equip you with all you need to know about the battle you're in and how to stop being an easy target for human and spiritual predators. Breaking the Deception Code, A Truth Seeker's Guide to Discernment, is available now at all online booksellers.
This is the part of our show we call our weekly word of encouragement, where we take a few minutes to reflect back and share what God has been doing in our lives. But before we share with you, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to The Flame newspaper, our companion publication. It's as simple as going to theflameusa.com and clicking the subscribe button. Make sure you're getting multiple copies to be handing out. And again, that helps with Project Parallel Communities. So this week's verse is Psalm 27:13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, Nicole, what is God teaching you this week?
I think that's perfect because it's a lot about putting all the things in a backpack.
And what things?
Like worrying about what my kids do or grandkids or this the flame and all the projects we do have and the amount of work and interviews and what we're doing now and just all of it and trusting him to build the building. So to put it in a knapsack, like last night when I went to bed, I roll because there's so much with what's happening in our world and communism and what we just talked about. And so last night I roll it in a string, like every thought that comes to me, I roll it like a ball of yarn and just roll it up and roll it up and roll it up and stick it in a backpack and set it to Jesus' feet. Because without him, we can't build anything.
Yeah.
You know, so we do this work, but when we're doing it in our own power, we're just mere, you know, Anna and Nicole, you know. Which is great. We're built in his image, but still it takes the Lord to do it. So confident and that trust that he's going to fulfill his promises in the land of the living. He's going to watch over my kids. He loves them more than I do. He's going to change hearts and minds of people because he loves these people more than I do. And he's you know, he told us that we could claim our families and we could ask for our needs to be met, and he loves us that much. So when it gets crazy, I just got to remember we're still in the land of living and God's still good.
All the time. God's good all the time. Dwayne, do you have anything to reel in about your week and our verse for the week?
Well, I think as our kids are going back to school and all the things that we are facing and seeing in the world, it's easy to get distracted and focused on all the bad.
Yeah.
And I think in this verse, really, if you look at that, the Lord's goodness comes through everything. And really, this is our opportunity to shine in some of the really uncomfortable situations that we're put in. And you know, we were kind of laughing a little bit last night because this battle that we're facing in our classrooms. And it's like, who better to have their kids in these situations where
than Anna's kids? What? You well, chose what classroom?
I may have laughed too much because I had the same situation in mind, a little bit dumbed down, I guess. But the reality is that these systems are indoctrinated, and it's not just schools, it's medicine, it's everything from the top down. So in the reality is, if you look at all that, we know that God's going to deliver for us, and yeah. and we're put in these positions for a reason. That's why we're educated. That's why we've learned what we've learned over the last few years, so that we can do for good.
Such a time as this, for sure. I mean, yeah, I think just being media and publishing a paper and doing podcasts, we do have times that the things we're covering are highly censored and they're negative. Right. And so it's always just so soothing to know that we can come back to God and be like, God, thank you so much for equipping me to handle these situations and then loving me enough to give me peace that at the end of the day, he is all we need. You know, we've been talking a lot about not being able to ride the fence anymore. We're going to have to make a choice. And to be completely honest, I don't think we've seen anything yet. I mean, think of all the negativity that is happening and just mind morphing lies and we're not even, I don't think that the end times have even begun.
I think people are, 2020 was a mind screw, and it basically sent people on into PTSD.
Oh, for sure.
And I think we have billions of people walking around with PTSD. They are traumatized, mm-hmm. and now they're trying to, oh, we don't have to wear a mask. We got our jabs. You know, everything's going to go back to normal. It's going to be just like the Spanish flu and the Roaring Twenties, although you remember there was a crash after the Roaring Twenties. But the fact is, this is an agenda. It's been going on for centuries, and we're in the battle.
Yep.
And that's a sobering thought. And yet Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but division, because he didn't say, I personally want to divide people. It's just the fact that he says,
it's
I am the truth,
life.
And people don't like the truth, people don't like the light, and they flee from it.
Heaven so and is, hell.
That's right.
God and Satan. It is a division.
Choose,
and we, again, have to acknowledge the truth
Thank
of
you.
That.
Thank you. And I think a lot of us have been going, hey, we live in the Western Hemisphere, we can all have the same houses, same cars, same enjoyment, timeshares, blah, 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 and we've forgotten that we're in a battle. We have literally forgotten. And of the soils, the cares and concerns of this world have choked too many Christians out and too many individuals out, and they're no longer fruitful for the Lord. They are dropped by the wayside, and yet he has called us to be that good soil where he can divide it from 30, 60, 100-fold, and that's what we're doing. And it took an awakening. It took a slam across the head, 2020 for many of us, and now look what's going on.
They're all dropping dead.
Well, but there's a lot of people that are on fire, like our guests.
There's a lot of on fire, but I'm watching people.
Well, they do. They've always done. Remember, we're in a war.
We're in a war.
And people drop dead every time, every day.
Yep. Yeah. People die in war.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. However, we get to choose what we're going to fight for. I know for me, when my kids ask me where I was and what I was doing during this time, I want to be proud of my answer. And I want to be able to look myself in the mirror. I want to sit at God's feet and ask if he's proud. So with that, we are nearing the end of our show. We definitely want to thank The Matrix and Shady for coming on with us. If you like what we're doing, we always can use your financial support. Just go to theflameusa.com and get your subscriptions and donate. So as we like to say, I'm Anna Kane.
I'm Nicole Orozco.
And I'm Dwayne Fisher.
And I'm Steve the Producer Johann, saying, keep your tinder dry, your torch lit, as together with God's help, we're spreading the truth like wildfire.
Am I brave enough? Am I strong enough to follow the desire that burns from within? To push away my fear, to stand
stand where I'm afraid. I am through with this, 'cause I am more than this.